Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light of life. The Bible's hands go, the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Thank you for listening today to the Lamp and Light broadcast. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, and I have titled this section, Put It Off. Now again, let me say, Lamp and Light broadcast does not take away from the local church. Make sure you're faithful and you tithe to your local church. Now, we read in Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. We must keep in mind that these commands are for those who are, this third chapter of Colossians, said to mortify, that is to put to death, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 7 added, in which ye walked sometime when ye lived in them. Now, praise God, he can save the guttermost to the uttermost. Praise God, he can cleanse, turn around, forgive of these things those who are addicted to them, as some of these things that are listed here in verse 5. So we praise God for that. Praise God that habitual sin can become the past tense in your life. Now, with these things in mind, let us look to our text. And in verse 8, he says, but now ye also put off all these. Now, that word put off, think about that phrase. This is something you're being told to do. It's done by us. It's not done for us. You're told, I'm told, to put off. And it's in the form of a command. Don't have the attitude, if God wants it out of my life, he'll take it away. It's not up to me. Well, my friend, this scripture is saying it is up to you. Proverbs 28:25 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. It shows that you do have a rule in that area. I knew a man who tried to quit smoking. He said he tried and he just couldn't. His nerves, his anger, and so forth, it made him impossible to live with. Then one day, a doctor discovered something in his body and told him if he didn't quit smoking, he would be dead in just a few short months. Now, guess what? That mean, irritable, nervous man was able to quit smoking immediately. Why is it God must threaten us with death or maiming us? Why must we be scourged before we obey? You can put off these things. God will not give you a command that is impossible to obey. He said, but now. In other words, since you are in Christ, since you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, as verse 3 states, put off also. And by the way, put off here is the idea of strip it off, rid yourself of it completely, throw it away like an old rotten garment. Now, it's important to mortify those terrible things that are listed in verse 5 that so many of them are dealing with sexual-type sins. But it's just as important and just as needful, because it is wicked in God's sight, to put off these things that are listed in verse 8. Some could point at verse 5 and shake their heads as Christians that are re-caught in some of these things, fornication and things of that nature. And we could just say, oh, how terrible. But also, in verse 8, puts things in verse 8 on the same level, although not the same category, as those things that are in verse 5. These are sins, in verse 8, that are often expressed through the tongue. So let us see those things specifically. What we are to discard like an old, rotten, torn, filthy garment. And the first thing listed there is anger. Now, this is an abiding, settled, and habitual anger that desires revenge. Let us imagine you have a disagreement with someone. It may be in a church. It could be on the job or in a home. And things are said that hurts. It goes beyond the disagreement of the issue and becomes personal. So one leaves the church, the home, or the job. Time to time, when their name is mentioned, it creates anger in your heart. You might say something against them, especially if that person's name is mentioned in a good light, then you have to say something so that people don't see it in a good light. If that person likes McDonald's, you won't go into a McDonald's for the rest of your life, okay? You see, your resentment is now bordering on hate. The mentioning of their name can take a good day and make it a bad day for you if somebody says their name in a good manner. We will admit that we don't like, or we might even resent somebody, but we won't say we hate them. Yet, it's always there. In 1 John 3:14-15, it says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." In 1 John 4:20, "If man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" That's kind of just using plain old common sense. When we have hatred of people instead of sin, it enslaves the hater. God has a continuing anger towards sin. We have a continual anger too often towards people over the wrong things. Now understand, if you have this feeling in your heart towards someone else, if mentioning their name in a good way ruins your day, stirs up some angry thoughts in your mind, and you just have to say something, then you are that person's slave. Do you realize that the person you hate, you have become their slave, because the mention of their name can ruin a good day. It can change your countenance. They have control and you don't know it. You see, hatred of people instead of sin enslaves. That anger is in your spirit. It quenches the spirit of love. That is, a love that is pure and holy. And therefore, we lose the image of the discipleship that we're to have, as explained by Jesus Christ in John 13:34-35, where he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Now here's a question then to the Christian. Can revival come in your life, in your home, in your church, or in your community, and you hold on to that attitude? If not, is that attitude worth holding on to? You're praying for a son, a daughter, or a mate to get right with God, but that spirit of anger hinders your power with God. So, is the person that you hate really worth it? That person that you have anger toward, is it really worth to hold that anger if it robs you of the power of God? The next word listed here in verse 8 of Colossians 3 is wrath. Wrath is defined as a violent motion or passion of the mind. It's more passionate in Greek than the Greek word just given for anger. However, it is also more temporary. In other words, it just doesn't continue. This is a person with that boiling, firing outburst of temper or a violent fit of rage. Let's everyone know when they're mad. Let's everyone know when they're exasperated. And although they've said many hurtful things, the next day they can't understand why everybody's not over it. This person, then, is that one that can lose their temper at the drop of a hat. Have you ever heard one of these say, well, I just can't help it. I know I've got a temper. That's just me. I've just got to say it. Well, the text said put off. That means you personally can overcome it. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, that would not be in the Bible if you couldn't. But since you can put it off, the truth of the matter is, you're not really wanting to put it off. It is more important to you to express yourself than to have the power of God. And I hope putting it that way helps you to see it. My friend, I want you to have a right relationship with God. I want the listeners to this broadcast to have power with God so they can pray for this radio ministry and this radio preacher. And so I bring out these things that may be a hindrance to you having power with God. Now the next word in Colossians 3:8 is the word malice. That is an evil habit of the mind. In this context of Colossians, it carries the idea of ill will, malignity, a desire to injure, wickedness, depravity. And the main emphasis here is the desire to injure with this word malice. This is a person that has allowed anger to develop to the point that they intend to hurt the person, usually with words and in a way that it might cost them something. If it's in a church, you might get somebody to quit their class, to quit that Christian school, to leave that ministry, on the job, to get a person fired, whatever it is. There are many applications here. A preacher preaches or makes decisions. It goes against your grain. You begin a campaign of whispering, where we may use true facts, but misrepresent them and cause division.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation for the Bible.